Sometime back, a team headed by a Harvard social scientist tracked lives of 7,000 people over a 9-year period. Here's what this team found. People with the fewest personal relationships were 3 times more likely to die than those with strong relational connections. 3 times. In fact, people with bad health habits, such as poor eating habits, being obese, lack of exercise, but who had a strong social ties, lived significantly longer than people who had great health habits, but were isolated. In other words, it's better to eat Twinkies with good friends than to eat broccoli alone, put in a nutshell. Harvard researcher Robert Putnam notes that if you belong to no groups that decide to join one, you cut your risk of dying over the next year in half. In the words of Barbara Streisand's song, people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. Isn't that true? Relationships are important. You need to believe that, or you cannot appreciate Jesus' words this morning. Relationships. You know, we think as Christians, our relationship is between us and God. Yes, it is true. Very true, of course. That is the beginning process. But relationship with each other binds that relationship with God that we make. Look at the scripture verse. Let me go to Matthew scripture, Matthew 18, verse 19. Jesus said, if 2 of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. That is stunning endorsement of corporate prayer, isn't it? You know, we think prayer has to be a private thing, a secretive, it's just between me and God. I mean, we say, yes, that is part of it. Don't get me wrong. Yes, between you and God. But it is also corporate. When 2 or 3 gather, Jesus continues to say, when 2 or 3 gather in my name, I will be there. What we need to see is the power of a church united. Again, I say to you, Jesus says, if 2 of you agree on earth about anything, it will be done. The church is the connecting link to the community, a place where all relationships, all interactions, all prayers, all decisions are carried out. I would like you to kind of imagine or put this picture in front of you, a triangle. You know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Body, mind, and soul. The triune God made us 3. There is a triangle in our relationships as well. It is between us and God and us and the community to connect them to God. Do you see that triangle? It's not just a two-way street. It is a triangle. Wherever two or three are gathered, whatever the reason for our gathering, whenever we gather, in his name, Jesus says, in my name, Jesus promises to be present. There's nowhere we can go that Christ will not be there. As the church, we have been given the power to be the connecting link in everything we do and say. All our actions, our decisions. If Christians gather in the name of fear, of hatred, Christ isn't going to be there, according to this passage of Scripture, right? If churches gather in a quest for power or prestige, Christ is not going to be there. If two or three gather strictly to oppose a different group or to condemn something, Christ is not going to be there. If we gather to gossip, if we gather to speak against God's children, Jesus is not going to show up, is he? He says, gather in my name. When two or three gather in my name, I will be there. So it is an umbrella of a blessing, not just saying, just when we pray in Jesus' name, but it is about everything, about believing the Scriptures, the gospel that Jesus, the Son of God, cross, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of life, everlasting. It's all put together, isn't it? When we say we gather in the name of Jesus. When Jesus is saying that there is much power when Christian people work together, pray together, laugh together, and shed tears together, that has always been the strength of the church. Coming to worship, but if we don't fellowship, if we don't fellowship, if we don't have the support of one another, how are we going to stand? How are we going to walk that journey? Isn't that our task, my friends? That is the ministry to which Christ has called us to be, a caring community. Even when we sit down to pray, when there is two or three, you share your concerns, you care for each other. Jesus says, when two or three are gathered, I will be there. I will be there. It is interesting to note this. Most of us are familiar with Chuck Colson's role as a hatchet man for Richard Nixon in the days before Watergate. A few of us have perhaps read his moving story, the book Born Again. In it, he tells those days of pain and humiliation that have become regrettable part of a national legacy. On the evening before Colson pleaded guilty to charges of obstructing justice, three men joined him at his home until well into the night. An ex-senator, Harold Hughes, former Texas Congressman Graham Purcell, and a lay worker, Douglas Cole. They were not there to give Colson legal or professional advice and support. They were there to pray with him and to give him the moral and spiritual strength to do what he needed to do. Their prayers did not prevent Colson's incarceration, but those prayers prayers did enable him to come through his prison ordeal a wiser, a better man, and to touch many lives in a positive way for Jesus Christ. Now think about it. It is not just friends that came. I mean, you could have friends. I mean, these guys, I mean, you know who I'm talking about, have thousands of friends who could come at any minute. But here is three friends that take the time to come, to spiritually nurture, to care for his soul, to get him through this ordeal. That makes sense, doesn't it? When Jesus says, when two or three gather in my name, I will be there. What a great opportunity for the church. Don't you think? What a great opportunity. Here we are. What a great opportunity that we have in our midst to support, to care, to reach out into our community. You know, and that's what I'm talking about. We're talking about the neighborhood groups. You know, still some of you don't understand fully what it is, but that's what it is all about. Connecting us to the neighbors that we know. When you say neighbors, all of us go, oh, how do I, leave me alone. Yeah, I've lived next to them, but you know, I don't want to, you know, I just wave at them. Yeah, so if I say to you, your neighbors who go to church, I mean, at least you see them here, you bump shoulders, like, okay, you know, I could talk to that guy or to that gal. You feel a little comfortable. I mean, that's the beginning point. That's the beginning of our reaching out. So let's gather as the neighborhood, as a community, with those whom we know first. Frederick Buechner once wrote, he says, faith is not so much believing this thing or that about God as it is hearing a voice which says, come unto me. We hear the voice and then we start to go without really knowing what to believe either about the voice or about ourselves. And yet we go. Faith at this point is standing in the darkness and a hand is there and we take it. To expand Buechner's analogy, we take the hand of God and then we reach out in the darkness and we take hold of the hand of a neighbor. That is who we are and what we are about, isn't it? Do we know what we have? We have what the world desperately needs. Jesus as their Savior and a congregation that can hold them and walk with them. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, we sing. Jesus promises that for the church. He says, I am with you always to the end of the ages. Matthew 28:20. My friends, before Jesus left us, he instituted the Last Supper. As the scripture was read, I won't go into detail. Exodus chapter 12. The Passover. Isn't it interesting in verse 4? Go home, read this chapter. It said, if any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor. You know, if the lamb is too big for their family, what they need to do is they need to invite the neighbor. Community. And that night, as God had told them, they slaughtered that lamb, they sacrificed that lamb. And God told them to take that blood and put it on the doorposts. So when the death angel goes over that community, there will be no harm to those who had the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. And Jesus told us that He is the Lamb of God. He is that Lamb who was sacrificed on that cross. And if we take that blood of that Lamb, the blood of Christ, have it on our doorposts, if you will. The death angel, the eternal death, will pass over and not harm us. Those who believe in Jesus, those who have that blood of the Lamb upon their doorposts, will receive eternal life. My friends, that's what we come to celebrate today at the Holy Communion, at the meal here this morning. Of God's grace to accept His love, His forgiveness, have that blood put upon our doorposts. Accepting Him as our Lord, asking Him to forgive us, cleanse us, purify us with that blood which cleanses and gives us life everlasting. So this morning, as you prepare yourself, as we sing this hymn number 640, I want you to prepare your hearts that you will come this morning that He could place the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus upon you, that you would receive His forgiveness. You will receive life everlasting. Amen.